Scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. I appreciate the material blessings that the Lord gives us. Just to see a beautiful day. When our mind is turned toward the Lord, we can give Him thanksgiving just for the small things in life. You know, we can take a look at a flower that's blooming. I love springtime, especially after the cold winter that we've had. See flowers blooming, and it ought to just so easily turn our thoughts toward God. I'm thankful for all that He's done. I have something I'd like to share with you tonight. When I was young, I would hear older ministers sometimes use this phrase. I haven't heard it so much lately, but it's been on my mind this week. The brevity of life. Yes. We don't hear that word very much anymore. It's not used often. But it is the definition that I'll use is the shortness of time. Yes. And this week has been a big reminder to me about this.
Yes.
How fragile the youngest of us, the oldest of us,
yes,
how fragile all of us are.
Yes.
None of us have a promise of tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, we can take a calendar and I can mark it up. I've got plans for the year. Things that I plan to do. I was just looking today at meetings.com, and it looks like our camp meeting season is back to normal again this year, of the expectations of not shortened times, but full amount of meeting maybe for Guthrie and Monarch and all of those. And, you know, I can start making plans for the year. I can take, okay, I've got this much vacation, so I start plotting out on a calendar. Here's what I plan to do. Somehow it seems like when I write it down on the calendar, it's guaranteed to me. I'm going to be able to do that. Only need some days to pass by before I get to realize those plans to come to pass. But then things can come along in our life that I need to realize, how can I bring life really into perspective? How can I realize the balance that I need to have in my life? How do we do it? I thought of a verse in 2 Peter 3 and 1. It said, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. What I would like to do tonight is, there's no new scriptures that we can look at. It's all, we can say we know them all.
Yes.
But it's a stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Just this past week, I went down to the funeral of Melvin. You know, he had plans. He marked his calendar with some plans that he had. Looked like all it needs to do is just pass a few days on the calendar and this is going to come to realization. He was supposed to go to Monarch a week ago. The day before he was to go, Mansell had talked to him, seemed like everything was fine. Had no realization of what was out ahead. But they told me that from the time that he was taken in, never came back to a place that he could even talk to someone. So, just because I write it on the calendar doesn't mean it'll come to pass. As we were there at the funeral, Sister Lana was there. That was on a Thursday. Their wedding was to be on Saturday. And those things started making me do some thinking. He's gone tonight, but we're still here to chart our course. So what do? All of us have plans for tomorrow. Is it wrong? It's not wrong. The scripture tells us to make plans for tomorrow. We are to live our life as if there's going to be a tomorrow, but also realizing that there may not be. So I would like this evening for a little while to take a look at some scriptures. Just some that I feel like, you know, I probably need to refresh them often in our mind. You know, we went through, as we had Easter Sunday, and we tell about the resurrection of Christ. We tell about his suffering. You know, I'm not so sure that that should be just done once a year. I think that ought to be often we remind each other of, here's what he suffered. Here's the death that he died for us. Maybe it ought to be more times during the year. And this one of the brevity of life, probably I need to be reminded of it more often in the year. Because it is so easy for me to go back to the calendar and back to my planning for what I will do in the future as if it's guaranteed to me. But there's a scripture, because it's not wrong for me to make plans for the future if I balance it with scripture. And there is some scripture that I feel like we need to look at. One is, we need to always remember, keep this scripture in mind, James in the 4th chapter. Because this doesn't say that it's sinful to make plans, not even sinful to make business plans. And that's what this is doing. 4th chapter, and in the 13th verse, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, we'll continue there a year, we'll buy and sell and get gain. Do we each one do that? We sure do. We make plans for extended time out ahead. If I do this and these things go together, then in a year this will have grown. This is just telling us we're going to be doing those things. But then comes the warning for us. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, we surely don't know if there will even be a tomorrow. How do we live our life if I could truly believe that? You know, I can have that as a head knowledge, but to have it as a heart knowledge and live my life accordingly is what's going to be very important. You don't know what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. For that 15th verse, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. And maybe more than just my words speaking, if the Lord will, my heart realizing it's going to be, if I go to work tomorrow, it will be because it's the Lord's will. The Lord to allow me to have the strength to get up in the morning will be because it's his will. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, do this or that. And how much would that influence how I live? You know, we talk about songs that they seem like good songs to sing. I need thee every hour. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, those are good little songs, but you know what? That is really a reality. That's how much, even whenever I'm feeling my very best and I have no aches and pains, I feel like I've got it. Things are going my way now. You know how quickly that can change. We have seen it in our world around us. You take a year and a half ago, none of us would have expected what has happened to our world today. We need to live our life with this in our heart, in our mind. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Realizing that, you know what? If he has something different for me, there's not a thing I can do to change it. But I want to be ready. The brevity of life, the shortness of life, And you know what? If you're young here today, you can say, well, you know what? Because I was there. I'm 15 years old. I'm 20 years old. The Bible talks about 70 and maybe even 80. That's a long ways off. But we also need to remember young people don't have a promise of tomorrow. And so what I've got to do is live each day. So how do we live then? Do we live in fear that, okay, I may not make it till tomorrow? No, we don't have to. But what it does for us is helps me to take examination, not just me doing the examining, but me asking the Lord to do the examining. Search me, O Lord. You know, it says, lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to show me if there's any adjustments that I need to make. Because the way everlasting could be tomorrow morning. It could be tonight. It could be the end for me. I've been made to realize that more. I'd like to go to a verse in Psalms, the 90th chapter. Psalms 90 and 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I was looking at the commentary on that. Teach us to number our days. Will any of us, by the Lord's teaching us, am I going to know how many days I have? Here it says, help us to realize our days are numbered. If anyone knew when, where, and how we were to die, they would expect an important influence in forming plans and our general manner of life. If I were to know the date, the time, the where it would be, the first thing is I'd try to make sure I wasn't there to avoid it. But to know that it's going to happen, then I would surely make some adjustments in my life to be ready for that time. Well, you know what I need to do is go ahead and live my life as if it will be tomorrow. Do I live it in fear? No, but what I realized was when Dad realized that he was coming close to the end of his life, what did he do? You know, he couldn't lay down in the bed anyhow. He would sit in his buggy at night. And the last 6 months, we would stay there with him, and I would hear his buggy click in the middle of the night. He's moving around. He's not able to sleep, and I'd ask him, what's the matter? You're not able to sleep? He said, I am just making sure. Middle of the night, asking the Lord, Lord, is there anything that you want to show me before I head out to meet you? You know what? All of us, we shouldn't have to have a cancer that I have a short life expectancy to do that. I should be asking the Lord every day, Lord, how about it? It's not even good enough for me to do the searching myself. I need to ask him, Lord, you search me. Yes. You see, remember that Psalms 139:23-24. Lord, you search my heart. You see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I need to go to the Lord. I can do my own searching. It's not good enough for eternity because it says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I can take a look at situations or attitudes that I have and say I'm justified in those. But in the light of eternity, with God looking on, I want him to be able to show me how he takes a look at it. It says, this prayer is that God would enable us to act as if we were to able to view my end. Yes. Teach me to number my days and apply my heart to wisdom. Teach me to realize every day in the decisions that I'm making, my days are numbered. I just don't know what number they are. May I always be ready. Then there's another verse in Psalms 90 and 9. It says, all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And I was looking at that. It says, life passes away as rapidly as our thoughts. You know how quick you can move from one thought to another? I mean, in a day's time, it seems like it works even faster at night. You wake up in the night and you want to go back to sleep and you can have thoughts just churning. I mean, You don't even have to solve them. They'll just come to you, and before you can think about solving them, they're gone. Here comes another one. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And it said there where it's talking about tale, they were talking about thoughts that can just pass by. Maybe that's one of the commentaries on it. How quickly my thoughts come and go. It says, no sooner has it come than it's gone. That's how rapid and fleeting my life is also. And also in Psalms 90 and 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. So is this a dismal message for me? You know what? It shouldn't be. I can have an expectation of heaven, my home, if I have prepared for it. And I seek the Lord to help me to make adjustments for it. There's another verse over in Psalms 39:4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, the Lord would like for us all to realize really how frail we are. You know, if we are to breathe another breath, it will come from God. You know, we can get to where we're feeling good. Now, when I get down sick, I can realize, you know, my life is kind of fragile. But somehow when we're feeling good and it's been for a long time, we can start feeling like, I don't really think too much about my end. But this one says, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. It says, behold, fifth verse, thou hast made my days as a hand breadth. You know, I think of my days as being something wider than my hand, the palm of my hand. But you know what? When we start comparing my life, no matter how long it is, to eternity, it's almost not being able to measure it. It's so small. Thou hast made my days as a hand breadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Why is that? A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He doesn't mark time like we do. You know what? Here on this earth, we'll say, okay, boy, if you live 70 years, you have really lived. He dwells in eternity where there is no marking of time. So I look at this one. When I get to feeling like I'm really something because my age is getting on up there, my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So teach me, Lord, to number my days. There is a scripture that tells us it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And then it tells us why. Because this is the end of all men. And they'll lay it to heart. This is an opportunity for me to think seriously that, okay, this was this person's time, but my time is also coming. It is better to go to the house of mourning. As far as what my thoughts, the seriousness of my thoughts will be, Lord, help us each one. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. When I look now at this story in Luke 12, and I try to put myself or any one of us, you know, when I work a job, whenever I do some kind of business, I don't do it just for exercise. I would like to turn a profit. I would like to make some profit from it. And when I read this in Luke 12, now this 12 and 15, he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. You know, for me to remember that I'm going to leave behind everything I ever gain, beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We were traveling down in New Orleans, and I came up on a huge cemetery. And in some of the older cemeteries in New Orleans, because of the flood, the water levels being so close to the surface, they would, a lot of those people are buried above ground, but they're in a big concrete vault. So there was just, seemed like acres of those in the cemetery. But the first time I think I've ever seen, right next to it, was another huge business. What do you think that business was? Mini storage. I thought, now wait a minute. There's a parallel right there. You can drop off your stuff right here because you're not going to take it with you when you go into the next department over here. Everything that is so important to me today, I will leave behind one day. Won't even be thinking about it. You know, I thought about their dad had hobbies that he liked. He liked working on lawnmowers. He would save up parts because he could use it on another mower. But you know what? As he came down close to the end, closer and closer to the end, you could tell him, Dad, I'm going to throw all that stuff away today. Wouldn't matter to him. He's not thinking about it anymore himself. So in this one, whenever I try to think of, you remember what we just read there? I'm making plans for this next year. I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. And that part itself is not sinful. It's just that while I'm doing all that, I've got to remember there's something else much more important than that. And that's what this man forgot. He spake a parable unto them, 16th verse. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And if I could look through all these things that were okay, there was nothing wrong with him being a successful farmer and it bringing in plentifully. Nothing wrong in the next verse. He thought within himself saying, what shall I do? You know, that's just part of it. If you've got produce coming in, you need to protect it. It's okay for us to make plans of what I plan to do with my job, with the future. But where I mess up is whenever I start thinking about my soul. And you know, we don't do that. We don't deal with our soul like he did. You know, for him to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. We know better than that. But you know, we can real easily do something else. I'm coming up on retirement now, and I take a look at what the stock market has done, and I am set. I am ready for retirement. You know, I've listened for years. I'd listened to Dave Ramsey telling us, if you'll live like nobody else, then a few years from now, you'll live like nobody else. Well, you know, we can, and I believe the Lord is pleased for us to be careful of how we handle our money. Where it tells us, go to the ant, thou sluggard. She's making some plans for out in the future. And we can make plans for out in the future. But what happens is, this man got to a place where he felt like he could handle it on his own. And forgot about, you know, I could go out into eternity tomorrow. And that's what the important thing is for us. Because you know what, after he had said, you have much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what, that's what we call retirement in America, is you have made it. Get your motor home and head out and enjoy it. Well, you know, whenever I've thought about that before, I want to make sure that I can get back to church on Sunday, because it's telling me, you know what, that's so much the more as you see your day approaching. How quick is that day approaching? Any quicker than to the person that has retired and eternity is out ahead for them? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So there's a balance for all of these things. I cannot say, okay, it was wrong here when his crops brought forth plentifully. It wasn't. It was when he got on down starting to think about, I can now take care of myself out in the future. Lord, help me to realize that, you know what, if we have, remember Job, he could have said, I have arrived. I have this much of these animals. Everything is fine for me. If so, how would he have felt when it was all gone? You know, there's something for us to think about. None of us know what the future of America is. Or not just to be dismal and say of America, but what if something would just happen to me and what I have saved up is gone? Can I do what Job did? Can I not just head knowledge, but down from the heart? Can I say the Lord gave it, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord can also give me strength. You know, I've seen people do that before. Have worked hard, have some money, and something happens, you can have a house fire and it's all gone. But be willing to, I've trusted the Lord before it, I trust the Lord after it. He can give me strength to be able to pick up and carry on. You know, that's what, when Jesus said, I have a peace for you that the world cannot give, it goes into areas like this. Areas that would be devastating to us if I lost my retirement. To the Christian, he says, the Lord takes care of me. He will take care of me out in the future. And I'm very thankful for that. So when I read in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, it talks about a group of people that say, where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning. You know, I can remember since being a child, I can remember some of the old ministers telling us, I just have this feeling that the end is very near.
Yes.
And then 10 years passes, 40 years passes. You know what can happen? This is not just the infidels out here in 2 Peter 3.
Yes.
It can happen to me. You know, and I've heard that all my life. It probably isn't going to happen in my lifetime. Well, as I look at the things like have happened this week there in Louisiana, it makes me to say the end of time should not be my biggest concern.
Yes.
My end of time is guaranteed.
Yes.
It will come. That was written many, many years ago. It will happen. Whether it's in my lifetime or someone else's, it will happen. But the one that I need to be worried about, need to be concerned about, preparing for, is my time when it comes to an end. I would like to look at a verse in Matthew, the 24th chapter, because it would give some instruction about the end of time. 24 and 42. But I would like for us to think about this, not just should the end of all things come, but take this as being for my end. Watch therefore, 42nd verse. You know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Yes.
We saw that happen this week. You do not know what hour Melvin would be called out into eternity. You know what? None of us know the hour that we will be called out. It says, but know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. I'd like to just think about that as me heading out into eternity day by day. If I only knew what day it would be, I would make preparations to make sure I was ready.
Yes.
Well, this one just tells me before it. Not going to do any good to just try to do that. Watch therefore, just watch every day. Because you know not what hour your Lord doth come. He would have watched and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Not just for the end of all things, but one day he's coming to call me out into eternity. But I like to look at this verse down in the 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What if when the Lord called for me, like he called for Melvin this past week, there would be nothing that needed to be taken care of? What if I could be living in the so-doing category at the time that he would call for me? You know, his was a health problem. Ours could be an accident.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be dismal thinking. It's just that we need to prepare. We need to be living each day as if it were our last. If there's something that I know the Lord is not pleased with, that I not say, okay, maybe come camp meeting time, I'll make some adjustments. But to realize I don't have a promise of tomorrow, I could be called out into eternity. What things do you think tonight fall in the so-doing category? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so-doing. What would you like to be doing if the Lord came for us, one of us, tonight when we drive out of here? It's our time to go. I was thinking of some things. Hebrews 10 and 25 would surely want to be high on my list if I don't know what day he's going to come. All I know is that he's coming, but he's given me some instruction of some things that I need to be doing as I'm planning for that time. And what is that one in Hebrews 10 and 25? What we're doing here tonight. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
Now probably that day that he's talking about is the end of all things. But if I just came from a funeral, I somehow have a strong sense that my day is approaching. Now whether it's this year or whether it's next year, so much the more. Lord, help me to see the value of this one thing. Lord, I tell you what, if you were going to call for me on a Sunday night, and I don't think we have to live in a straitjacket. If something is happening that we're not able to be in meeting, the Lord understands that. He knows the heart. But you know what? If he were going to call for me on a Sunday night, I would sure love for it to be while I was in service. And not just in service, but I was had measured to what they were just preaching about. And I was ready for him to come. Now, you know what? Being just this is not going to save me. If I said, okay, I'm going to live up to this one scripture, I am not going to forsake the assembling of myself as a manner of some is. Will that save me by itself? No. But it's one of those things that give me an edge. Remember what it says? We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Something I'm thankful for in these services is where I can learn, I can understand some of Satan's devices. What he wants, a trick that he wants to play. You know, there are things in our life that if I don't keep it fresh in my mind that I could be called out at any time, there are things that can happen. It can be as simple as what someone says to me and how I respond.
Yes.
Without even saying a word. Things can happen inside of me.
Yes.
Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Yes.
You know, that happens inside of me and you may never even know it. But the Lord judges the heart. And what I'm so thankful about is it says he's not willing that anyone would perish. He wants us all to be able to make heaven our home. So he is going to be faithful to come to me and let me know. Don't leave out of here with this. You remember when Peter said, Lord, how often should I forgive? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. You just have a heart of forgiveness. And now I realize, how quick should I do it? Okay, I know I need to do it. Someday I'm going to do it. Oh, no, I may be called out of here. Lord, help me to do it quickly. Help me to have a heart of forgiveness. Help me to also remember that Jesus said, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive. And I'm headed out to stand before Him. So I want to walk with a carefulness. There is another one. In Matthew 26, and 41 is another one that would be good for me to be in the so doing category of my life. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a song that we sing, a verse of it. Watch and pray that when the master cometh, if at morning, noon, or night, he may find a lamp in every window, trimmed and burning, clear and bright. Watch and pray. Surely this is a time that is very important for us to spend. We've been hearing several weeks now about prayer and the importance of it. Lord, help me to spend time, more time, doing it. We don't have to just be on our knees for it to happen. We can be at work and have a spirit of prayer, just communing with the Lord. And I want to do that more. As you see the day approaching, this watch and pray would also be valuable. There is one more that I'd like to look at. It's in Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those that are of the household of faith. The so doing category is not just for me to live to myself, but me to also look around and see, is there someone else that's in need? As I looked at that story of there was a certain rich man. You know, it really doesn't tell me that the rich man's sin was that he had stolen his goods and that's what made him wealthy. It really doesn't tell me that he did anything wrong. It only says that there happened to be a beggar named Lazarus that was laid at his gate, that he failed to have a care and concern for. I believe in a so-doing category is I need to make sure I'm ready myself. And then I need to be on the lookout. Is there someone else that is in need that I could help? There's a song that we sing sometimes. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Said life's evening sun is sinking low. Just a few more days and I must go. Where am I going to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun? There's change all around us. Thought about the song that says, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Walk with me through this time around us. As we see things, as we have seen this past week, plans that were made look like it's surely going to happen. And then God, we have to say, God is in control of all things. And for me to be ready every day. It doesn't have to be a dismal message. Lord, help me to take care of my soul.
Yes.
Help me to just, you know, where it becomes dismal is when He shows me something I need to change. And I say, but that's just who I am. May I be quick to make the adjustments that I need to make, realizing I don't know the day that He will call me out of here. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Lord, help us each one. I desire your prayers.